Hi, Craig. Can you see my screen okay?
Yeah, I see it just fine.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Hey, Lisa. Hi, y'all.
Hi. Hey, Tracy. Nice Hello. To see you.
Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks. Excellent.
Craig, do you know if we need to mute everyone at any point? Do you know how to do that in Zoom?
I know there's a way for the hosts to do that. I
haven't right. used it. Right, that's what I'm trying to figure that out.
Lisa, I think you opened the participants window, and as the host, I believe you have the option to mute everyone. I could be wrong, though.
Okay. Thank you. I see mute my phone.
There, I just muted everyone. You can unmute yourself, though. I just muted you too, Lisa.
Thank you. I'll leave that feature up to you then. I still can't find it. All right, we'll just give everyone a few more minutes to join. All right, we'll go ahead and get started here in a minute. If everyone should could just make sure to mute your microphones. And I know, Craig, you could also, I think, do a mute all maybe again. That would be great. Or Craig, excuse me. All right, so welcome everyone to our fifth annual Archibus Space Survey. Thanks to everyone in advance for participating in this year's survey and just continuing to help us improve our space data and our system. So over the next 90 minutes, we'll be reviewing a timeline for this year's space survey, along with some milestone dates to look out for. We'll talk about the annual space survey process at a pretty high level. We'll talk about some FNA survey updates and also go over some system updates that have occurred over the past year. And for the next section, the importance of accurate space data, Craig will take that and talk about the importance of accurate space data and how we use our space data. We'll have a special speaker, Tracy Dudman from Campus Planning, joining us for a few slides to talk about PI assignment pending space and ICR data. And then we'll wrap up with how to contact the Archibus admins for any general support, and finally time at the end for questions and answers or Q&A. So if you have any questions, feel free to put those in the chat box throughout the town hall, and we'll save all of those for the end. And again, if everyone could make sure to keep yourself muted, and you can also ask questions at the end as well. You don't necessarily have to put them in the chat box. All right, so the Space Analytics team, for those of you who have participated in past year's survey, you can see that our team has changed a lot over the past year. Bob Pizzi, who was with UCSF for over 20 years, officially retired in 2019. And Ritesh Khanna, the director of Space Analytics, left UCSF just this past July. So for the time being, I'm filling in for Ritesh while we repost his position, which is in progress now. And the Space Analytics team is just myself and Craig Culver for the moment. Craig's position is as a building auditor for our team, but he's also a data analytics wizard, and he's learning his way to become an Archibus admin, and he'll be supporting this year's survey along with me. So you'll be interacting a lot more with him in the coming weeks, if you haven't already. So what is the annual space survey? We perform the annual space survey as an opportunity for staff to provide an accurate accounting of how UCSF space is being used. And although updates can be made to our space data in Arquebus throughout the year, this survey time period is when we require all users to review and update space as needed. At the end of the space survey, the space analytics team takes a snapshot of the Arquebus data and we submit it to UCOP. The Arquebus space and occupancy data is used as the base data for the FNA indirect cost recovery survey. And this is just a reminder that this is not a UCSF health survey. We are just focusing on departments that are assigned to campus at this time. If you find that you have space that you share with the health department, you can work with Arquebus admins to figure out how to attest to that space if any adjustments are needed, and we can help make system changes. So you might be wondering, how do we do a space survey during COVID-19? So we understand that things look a little differently this year, particularly with many of us not being on campus. So we're just encouraging everyone to do our best around the following areas. Removing occupants who you know have left UCSF, correcting PI assignments for lab space, check that rooms have the right occupants in them to the best of your knowledge, and use the data error reports that have been sent to strategists earlier this week as a guide for data points to focus on. And Craig will be talking more about those data error reports if you're not familiar with them yet in his portion of the deck. And just a note, if you are working 100% remote or somewhat remote, semi-remote, but you still have a designated workstation at UCSF, you will continue to track yourself in that UCSF space, even if you're not actively using it at this time. Right, so who can update UCSF space? There are two different types of users in Arquebus who have who are participating in this space survey: the space coordinator and the space strategist. Everyone on this call should have, or most everyone on this call should have, one of those two roles. And if you're unsure of what your role is, feel free to reach out to us and we can help clarify. And I'll also show you some areas that you can look in the Arquebus interface to see what your role is. As a space coordinator, you have read access to all reports and views in Arquebus, and you have right access to your assigned department, or in some cases, or many cases, multiple departments. Your key responsibilities are participating in the annual space survey and maintaining space data throughout the year. And that includes updating employee locations. Also, answering any questions that us admins may have around how rooms are being used, room usage, floor plan accuracy, and attending Arquebus-related training or testing sessions, and occasionally, but more rarely, participating in spacewalks. So, and just a note, for both coordinators and strategists, the next role I'm going to talk about, if you know of any renovations that have taken place and you see that they're not reflected in Arquebus, please notify our team as soon as possible so we can start working on those updates. They can be time consuming to track down updated CAD floor plans, and sometimes we do require spacewalks to be done as well. So we like to get started on those as soon as we can. Right. The other user role that I mentioned that's participating in the space survey is the space strategist. And the space strategist has read access to all Arquebus views and data, similar to the coordinator. And they also have right access to their control point. And the control point being, for example, School of Medicine or School of Nursing. The main responsibilities for a strategist, you're the main point of contact for coordinators. You ensure that all departments within your business unit or control point have a coordinator assigned. And this is something that we also help track. If you haven't heard from us, then there's likely no gaps in your access or your coverage for this annual space survey. We also, or the strategist also encourages and ensures participation in the space survey. And we help with that by sending out data error, by sending out progress reports to strategists throughout the space survey. Some other responsibilities are tracking loans, reviewing and processing space requests. I just noticed a lot of chat, so all coming up at once. It sounds like most of you can hear me, but maybe some of you are having problems. One person's having a problem. Okay, I'm going to continue. Excuse me. Other responsibilities are tracking loans, reviewing and processing space requests, and attending any Archibus-related training or testing sessions. Right. So here's a list of all strategists that are assigned to each business unit. This might be helpful for coordinators who are newer to the system or just unsure of who your control point or your business unit strategist is. And just as an FYI, that we will be posting this deck to our space website, and we'll also be distributing it through email as well. All right, so timeline for the 2020 space survey. We are officially kicking off the space survey. Well, we're starting with the town hall today, of course, but the space survey in Archibus will officially kick off tomorrow due to some system adjustments that weren't correct today. So excuse me for that, but yeah, we'll officially start our space survey in Archibus tomorrow on August 27th. And all system or survey functionality will be available tomorrow morning. We're asking that any new coordinators be added to the system before September 20th or September 30th. Any requests received after the 30th of September will be put on hold until after the space survey is complete. And the reason being is we often receive last minute requests to add coordinators, and it's hard for our team to do last minute training as we get the bulk of our survey related work towards the end of the space survey. So the annual, on October 7th, the bulk update request cutoff will come, and we'll talk about this in more detail shortly, but we're asking that any bulk update requests be sent to our team by October 7th. And on October 28th, the space survey will officially end, and this year there will be no extensions past this date. With our team being so short-staffed this year, and I'm also, for any of you that aren't aware, going on leave in early November through February. We need to wrap the space survey up a little earlier than we typically would this year. On October 30th, we'll take a snapshot of all of our space data for our UCOP submittal, and Craig and myself will be reviewing and massaging that data before I go on leave in preparation for our UCOP submittal that is due on December 4th.
Lisa, if I could just jump in and mention that for School of Medicine, our space survey deadline is going to be October 14th. So the 28th is when Corrine and I will have all the data reviewed for Lisa and Craig. But for all the coordinators and departments in School of Medicine, October 14th is the day that is important for you. The space survey is gonna end on that day for School of Medicine. It gives us time to check all of the data. There's only two of us. So in order to help the space team get theirs done by the 30th, we need to be able to have those 2 weeks beforehand. So October 14th for everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. All right, so let's switch gears into a high-level overview of the Arquebus system in the space update form. To access Arquebus, for those of you that are newer to the system, you'll need to access Arquebus through the MyAccess homepage. If you don't already have Arquebus bookmarked or favorited in this application, you can click in the filter applications search box and search for Arquebus. And then I recommend adding it as a favorite. Just a note, since a lot of us are working remotely right now, if you are logging into Arquebus from home, the system is only accessible when connecting to the network via dual pulse. If you log in via the web VPN, the Arquebus webpage will not load, or it'll appear somewhat incomplete. It's not loading properly. So make sure you use the dual pulse. Once you log into Arquebus, the first thing you're going to see is the Arquebus homepage. Now, during today's town hall, we're only going to be showing snapshots of the system. We're not going to be doing any live demos, but we will be offering many training opportunities throughout the survey season, which we'll go over later in the deck, so that you can ask questions and it'll be a more thorough overview. Okay, so up here in this upper left, you can see the coordinator homepage. So this is how, if you're unsure of what your role is in Arquebus, you can refer up here when you log in to see if you're a coordinator or a strategist. And again, most of you will be coordinators. A small subset of you will be strategists, and most strategists have been strategists for years, with the exception of some changes this year. These four boxes up here at the top, we refer to as buckets. We're just going to look right now at this help bucket on the far right. You can submit feedback to our team regarding any data changes that you might want to make, just comments on the system. There's a number of options if you explore this feature. You can use it to reach out to our team. The only drawback with submit feedback is that we're unable to respond via this tool. So depending on the question that you have, it can be better in some cases to use our arquebus-support@ucsf.edu email address to just email us directly. The next link down here is the training resources button or link, and this will connect you to the space.ucsf.edu website. And our website has many training resources available around the survey specifically, and also around your user role. If you're a coordinator or a strategist, frequently asked questions, and if you're requesting new access, which most of you or all of you should already have access to the system. Then down here, our notification section. This is where we talk about system changes, any downtime. Right now, the notification is around the space survey. We have no known upcoming system downtime at this point. And then here's a link to the training resources page as well when we send this deck out. The focal point of your annual space survey is going to be on the space update form here, highlighted with the red arrow. This view is used to update space, and it'll be used to complete your annual space survey as well. So here's the space update form opened. In this form, you're going to notice when you come in, there's these four different tabs up here at the top, and here they're blown up so that you can see them a little easier. I'm just gonna walk through the tabs quickly. And again, we'll have many training sessions to go over all this information in more detail, but you'll start off in the Active Space Update Rooms List tab. This is the default tab when you come into the Space Update view or the Space Update form view. At the beginning of the survey, I would anticipate most of you will see that there's no records in this Active Space Update Rooms List, and I'll explain how records get here in a moment. So I recommend first clicking on this first tab, the My Rooms List tab. This is going to show you a listing of all rooms that you have access to within Archibus. And if any other coordinators have the same access as you, they would also see the same rooms in their My Rooms List. From the My Rooms List, you can check rooms out. And once you check them out, the rooms will then appear in the Active Space Update Rooms List. This is where you can drill into room details to start making individual edits on rooms. Once you select individual rooms from this Active Space Update Rooms List, the Room Details tab will open. And this is a tab where you can make changes around all data sets. So room types, room station or station counts, division department adjustments that are within your access, load information, adding occupants, and so on. And then finally, the All Rooms tab. Now, this tab shows a read-only view of all rooms or all space that's in Archibus for both Medical Center and Campus. So this is a read-only tab showing an inventory of everything that we have. Sometimes the All Rooms tab can be a great reference. Let's say you're in your My Rooms List and you're expecting to see certain rooms and they're not appearing. And you might wonder, why aren't they appearing? You can go to the All Rooms tab for a reference, search for that room, and it can help you realize maybe the room is just allocated incorrectly and you need to have the room reallocated. Can be a good reference tool. Right. During the space survey process, I want to go through the workflow of the rooms. Our rooms will always start in a ready status. So when you get to that My Rooms List tab, more than likely all of your rooms will be in the ready status unless some coordinators that share the same access as you are ahead and they've already started on their survey, but rooms will start in a ready status. Once a room is checked out by users, the room will move to an in-progress status. If changes are submitted that require admin approval, for example, those types of changes would be updating station count or updating a room type. And also for select coordinators that have access across control points, if you try to make a change across control points, your strategist will also get notified and that will require approval as well. But those types of change will require approval, like I mentioned, from either a strategist or an admin. And the room would then go into the submitted pending approval status. Once either the admin or strategist approve the room change, depending on the type of change that you've submitted, the room will then go back to an in-progress status. So unfortunately, there is no completed or done status of a room, and a room will never go back to a ready status. The room will primarily stay in this in-progress status unless the room is temporarily in that submitted pending approval if you've submitted a change that requires that approval. Because of us not having this completed or a final status showing that a room's been reviewed, some of you may remember last year, I think it was last year, possibly the year before, but I think last year we developed a tool to help keep users on track with which rooms have been surveyed or reviewed. And we'll look at that in the next slide. And that feature is called the Space Surveyed feature. So the Space Surveyed button, which I have that highlighted here, is available in both the Active Space Update Rooms List tab and also the room details, or yeah, and also the room details tab, which is right out back here. You can select a checkbox next to multiple rooms or a single room in this active space update rooms list, and then select the space survey button, which will change the space surveyed question mark field from no to yes. What this space survey button will also do is it'll highlight the rooms that you've surveyed, not only change the status to yes, but highlight the rooms that you've surveyed in green. So that can be helpful to identify what space you reviewed. And for shared rooms, the space surveyed question mark value will only change for the coordinator that's logged in or for coordinators that share the same access as you when an update is completed for their portion of the room. So the other shares that are associated with the room would remain as space surveyed equals no, assuming that they haven't marked their portion of the room as space surveyed yet. And by the end of the space survey on August 28th, all rooms should be marked as space surveyed by either a coordinator or a strategist. You would mark your room as space surveyed regardless of whether or not a change was needed, but just to indicate that you have reviewed all the rooms in your My Rooms list. Any rooms that are not marked as space surveyed after October 28th will be assumed as surveyed and marked as such by space admins. So we need all rooms to be marked as surveyed in order to close out the space survey in the system. And completing your annual space survey. So when you get to this point and you're ready to complete your annual space survey, you'll need to click on this orange Complete Annual Space Survey button. This orange button is only available during the space survey. So again, it's not available today, unfortunately, but it will be available tomorrow morning or after midnight if you're eager. Before a coordinator selects this button, they will want to check in with any other coordinators that may share the same access with them to ensure that all parties have finished reviewing their space. This button will apply a date and a username stamp for divisions and departments that the coordinator selecting the button has access to. And only in rare cases should a strategist select the complete annual space survey button. So for example, if there are no coordinators assigned to some of your departments as a strategist, you could click the complete annual space survey button. But if this occurs, the strategist will want to select the complete annual space survey button only after all their coordinators have completed their portion of the space survey. When a strategist clicks on that complete annual space survey button, the action will be applied to all departments in their control point, and the reporting tool that we have will reflect the strategist pushing the button under all departments. So to view survey progress, you can access the space update status by division or department report. And these are located in the second bucket here, this reports bucket. You can see here, if you can see my mouse, there's five little dots at the bottom of this reports bucket. If you select the fourth dot, that's where these survey related reports are available. So these reports will show a timestamp and a username next to any space that's been surveyed. And the space analytics team will also be sending space survey status reports to strategists throughout the survey period as well. So when you click the orange complete annual survey button we just talked about, these are the reports that are recording that information. I mentioned this when we were going through the timeline of our survey, bulk update. So to help you move through your survey a little more quickly, we are again offering help with updating select fields and archives. We also did this last year. We're just recommending or require that bulk updates only be submitted for rooms that are 100% assigned to a single department only. So any shared rooms we would like to exclude from assisting or providing this bulk update support. It can be a really time-consuming task for our team, and especially if rooms are shared, there's additional coordination that's needed from us, and unfortunately we just don't have the bandwidth this season. Some of the fields that you can submit space updates for through this method are division or department, division or department fields, changes, but only rooms within your control point or your business unit. And again, not available for rooms that are shared. Also, any room category or type changes, station count changes, and loan details, and we can help with uploading documentation associated with loans as well. And here's a quick update on the F&A survey this year. This year, Archibus will not be used for the F&A survey. Users will still see some of the F&A functionality in the space update form, which I've highlighted above here. These fields and functionality do not have any records associated with them, so they can be disregarded. So you can see here the F&A required and F&A status. All values will be NA. This filter will only apply to NA. And if you do push the complete F&A survey button, it'll just say that I think you're not participating or there's no records that are assigned to you. And the BRM F&A team will be using the data that was collected in last year's survey, and will reach out to departments for additional details as needed. They are expecting that minimal outreach is expected this year. And some system updates. Over the past year, we've performed an Archibus system upgrade from version 22 to version 24. And that's been completed with the exception of our GIS connector, which has no impact on the space survey or any end user functionality that any of you would see. You may notice in the space console that there are some additional layers, unfortunately, that are available or are visible in some of our floor plans now due to Web Central displaying in HTML5 versus Flash. That's one of the main reasons we needed to upgrade. Flash was going away. And until all drawings are republished by our space team, you may continue to see that some of our drawings look a little busier than usual, with additional line types and text visible. But the integrity of the drawings is still there. And I'm going to show you a tool in a moment that allows you to turn layers on and off in the space update form. This is a new feature of that, in the space console. This is a new feature that's available. And I'll also show you some changes around the space update form, a really minor feature that was added. And I'll talk about a change for designated employees that are working 100% remote with no workstations here at UCSF. Okay, here's a screenshot of the space console. So this is our dynamic floor plan view that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. All in all, it's going to look the same this year. I just wanted to talk about one new main feature. I've expanded it in this view, but before it's expanded, I've copied the little icon here, the square with the downward arrow. When you click on that, it expands to be this layer or this list of layers. And these are all layers that are brought over from AutoCAD. And that's the software that we use to manage our floor plans, and is connected to Archibus. But you can see right now there's no checkboxes selected. You have the ability to come in and turn on and off these different layers, and they add architectural detail to what you're seeing here. You also now have the ability to turn off the actual highlights, so you can see just a nice way to view architectural detail without having to go into our PDF floor plan drawings, if you're familiar with those. And just to note, I've highlighted it here in red. It's pretty small and grayed out, but you can disregard the show 3D button. Right now, all of our drawings are in 2D. They're all created and managed in AutoCAD. I think this would be a feature that applies to Revit if we use it in the future. But for now, you'll just see it as a disabled button. And the space update form, the room history feature. So this is something new. You can find it in the active space update rooms list tab of the space update form. When you see the date modified, I've circled over here, date modified field, you can select the date associated with any room, and it will bring up a record or a history of any updates that were made to a room in the last year. I think this is a nice feature. I wish it was more than a year, but it came with our upgrade. So it could be a handy tool to use. And remote employees, and I'm not just talking about remote employees that still have space at UCSF, a workstation or a desk. These are remote employees with no designated workstation or office at UCSF. So with our current working conditions, in some cases, there are going to be employees that no longer have a designated office or workstation available. In Archibus and the UCSF directory, we've created a new virtual location called remote location. This location should be used by an employee when they no longer, again, have a designated workstation or office available only. To assign an employee with this virtual location, there are two options. The employee can sign into the UCSF. The employee can sign into the UCSF directory, which requires single sign-on, and update their location manually, and Archibus will be updated. They can also reach out to the Archibus admins, and we can move employees to this virtual room. The virtual room is not available to coordinators and strategists, only admins, so you can reach out to us as needed. With all the upcoming moves between Laurel Heights, Block 33, CSB, et cetera, I wanted to address how we handle moves that occur throughout the annual space survey and beyond. Space that's vacated needs to be documented via the space request form, so admins can reassign vacated space back to the chancellor in Archibus. Archibus admins are working with move coordinators to update move details for departments as they are occurring. But if we fall behind and you see that your data is not showing correctly in Archibus, please reach out to us by Archibus support at ucsf.edu and we'll help make these updates. All right, so I'm going to pass this along to Craig now to talk about the importance of accurate space data.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So we are going to talk about why we're doing all of this, in case you're wondering. First, I'd like to express my appreciation for you. Lisa and I are the ones who are behind the scenes, and you are the ones with your feet on the ground. So we depend on you for the accuracy of our data, and that data is important. So Space Analytics acts in service to management, starting with UCSF Real Estate and going on up to the Chancellor and the Office of the President, who in turn support you. So management is engaged in capital and operational planning, and you can't manage what you don't know. As you know, our space is expanding and changing rapidly. The back and forth between management and the end users, that's you, is essential to keeping abreast of what's going on in the real world. And of course, there's money involved. Cost recovery depends on information about the actual use of our facilities. And we all answer to a higher power, the University Office of the President. So we're going to talk about supporting data integrity. Department assignment. In the case of rooms shared between departments, which happens often, pay attention to the percentage of space occupied by each department. Room category and room type. These pertain to a whole room. So a room cannot be assigned multiple categories or types. Now, what we call a room may not be partitioned into a physical room. For example, a reception desk in a waiting area would have a defined outline, and we would call that outlined area an admin office. Rooms or portions of rooms can be loaned to other departments. Now, this is usually negotiated at the department and division level, so unless a loan crosses control points, we probably would not know about it unless you tell us. PI assignments. So research space is always associated with a principal investigator. So if no PI has been recruited, for example, we have a placeholder called PI assignment pending. So all research space should have a PI assignment, either actual or pending. Station counts. That's the number of actual workstations that will accommodate users in a particular room. And in addition to the usual office and lab spaces, we track the number of seats in conference rooms. And employee occupancy. So a permanent workstation that is not shown as occupied is just really an empty space, isn't it? So if someone's sitting there, that should be in the data. So next. So tips on supporting this. Research rooms. Watch out for those rooms that lack a PI assignment. There are a few of those out there. I'll get into that a little bit more later. Check station count against employees assigned. There is a calculated availability field that subtracts employees from stations, and that can be a negative number if a room shows fewer stations than employees. This would be an indicator that one or the other was miscounted. Similarly, if you think a room is fully occupied but is showing a number of available spaces, something may have been miscounted. Now, a corollary of that would be occupiable rooms showing zero occupancy. On the other side of that would be employees in your department who have no space assignments. Now, of course, we understand that not everyone has a desk. Facilities people, for example, can be employees at large wandering around fixing things and so on. Now, the primary location is the one that appears in the UC directory. In addition, Archibus can track one or more secondary locations. So we want to know that if it exists. Earlier this week, I sent out some data error reports to strategists. So this part will be familiar to some of you. What I was doing here was looking at the raw data to find out what stories it might be telling. For example, station accounts are sometimes missing from rooms where we would expect to find them. Employee assignments. We ran some analyses comparing station accounts with occupancy and displayed rooms that appeared high or low. So I hasten to add that this report was made by applying algorithms to large chunks of data. So it will take someone familiar with the actual space to judge whether a high or low seeming number is really appropriate. I also listed any room category types that were shown as C renovation. So please review those to determine whether or not they have been or are being renovated. But the bottom line, please remember that these so-called data errors are not necessarily errors. It's just stuff that I pulled out of the data. So it's up to you to use your judgment. Now I'm going to talk about some of the room categories and types. All spaces classified with a room category and type. Okay, you probably know that already. If you're not sure about classifying rooms that may be of mixed use, decide which use is the predominant activity. And since everyone here is on the campus side of things, all of your room categories should begin with C hyphen. If there are any beginning with M hyphen, those will need to be looked at. And here's the reference guide. Now we're going to be diving into some of the specific areas that we're interested in. An academic office, well, what it says right here, basically. Note that any support staff who are working for faculties, chairs, deans, etc., they would be considered to be in an admin space. And an admin office is, well, basically what it says right here. Bearing in mind, of course, that in the current open plan environment, an office may just be a 6-foot desk on an open floor. We still call that an office. Wet labs and dry labs. So a wet lab is characterized by lab equipment, and I think we all know what that looks like. So that probably doesn't need any more explanation than we have here. A dry lab, if you read this definition, I'm pretty sure that was written before everybody had computers. Nowadays, a dry lab would consist of a workstation with a computer where research is done. So this would not be an academic or admin office. So this research is presumably with data from the wet labs. So now let's talk about support areas and non-assignable space. So research office support directly serves research or admin offices. It includes storage, copy rooms, and so on. It's note also that it's characterized by not having station counts, or employees assigned. Circulation area. So there are two kinds, assignable and non-assignable. Non-assignable circulation areas are open to the whole building. For example, when you walk into MSB, that main floor down there is non-assignable. When you go up in the elevator and come out of the elevator lobby and are walking down the main hallways, those are non-assignable areas. As soon as you go into someone's suite, however, all of those hallways and aisles are assignable. They're assigned to the department or departments that occupy that suite, and it's important to classify all of that correctly. And those hallways would be classified as either research or admin support. Station counts. What it says here, the number of stations that will adequately accommodate users in a particular room. Now, conference rooms. Some of you will have seen handwritten signs taped up outside conference rooms displaying the COVID appropriate seating capacity. But we are tracking the pre-COVID seating arrangements, including any peripheral seating that's supposed to remain in the room. Now, sometimes people will drag extra chairs in the room for a particular meeting. Don't count those. But if there are any chairs that normally remain in the room but might be scattered along the walls, we do count those. And then the research station is what that says right there. Why it matters? Well, the station counts together with room area and employee counts tell us how the space is being utilized. So where are employees located? Update employee locations in Arquebus via the space update form. Everyone who requires a station should be assigned to a room. If you have multiple employee updates and need help, please reach out to us and we will help you. When an employee is removed from a room and is not reassigned, the employee's location will appear as location required in the UCSF directory, and we will perform periodic reviews of location required employees. And that's it for this part. So over to Tracy.
Hi, everyone. I have met many of you, primarily the strategists who are participants in what we are calling the work group, which is a analytics group that supports the Space Committee, which is the highest end of our governance structure in signing and approving space throughout the campus. Many of you understand that the Space Committee is made up of all of the deans, provosts, and a couple of the planning team from real estate to help support. I just have a few items I'd like to walk through with you. This is primarily information sitting with the strategists, but they need your help as well to make sure that this information is accurate, which is why I'm following Craig's lead. The PI pending, as Craig mentioned, this is a designation for space that may be currently vacant because departments are recruiting for a position and they're holding that space for recruitment potential. Or it's vacant because a PI is left and maybe there isn't a recruit at the moment. What the specific designation here about the greater than 2 years, the reason we're interested in that from a space committee and strategist point of view is that we want the campus, all the deans, want that number to be zero. We want PI pending to be zero, right? So space vacant for more than 2 years should be examined immediately and given a high level of attention by the coordinators and strategists. What has been approved by the Space Committee is something we call a space metric. And when we see PI pending greater than 2 years, there is a high likelihood that the Space Committee could take that space and reassign it to the Chancellor. So it is in the department's best interest to get that number to zero. So your action required in this category: a close examination of lab and lab support space, labeled PI pending, and ensure the accuracy of the state. Next slide, Craig. What you see here is a data output from our budget team. And you're looking at what this is the metric that the Space Committee and the work group are using to evaluate the PI pending. So the PI pending, the 2 year, greater than 2 year, is actually a 3 year average because we understand that space can become vacant at any time. And this is consistent with the space survey. So it has sort of an end date, right? And so things change at all times, and because space can be fluent in assignment, the three-year average is the best way to understand if something has been vacant for more than 2 years. So this is just a snapshot of 2016 to 2018 by school and then totals. So you're seeing both wet lab and dry lab and the amount of ASF that was calculated. Next slide. The next set of spaces we're interested in, and Craig did touch on this briefly, is no space PIs. This is a subcategory of principal investigators that we understand are out there. They have no space assigned to them in ArcBUS, yet they show sponsored financial activity in the general ledger. The reason we're interested in this, all of us, is that the indirect cost recovery benchmarking system combines the financial records from the GL with the space record from ArcBUS. So in an event that a PI has financial activity, but they have no space, means we have an inaccurate way of reporting their activity. So that's what the problem and the issue is. So with business logic associated, the RASP is a research group that has developed a number of things, including the metric I just described as the PI pending. When we have no space assigned to a PI, we have no way to determine whether classify their wet lab or dry lab, and dollars noted from their activity are excluded from our metric. And to date, it's about $33 million, or 12% of the total ICR for the campus, that is not being tracked. Next slide. So what are we doing about this? So the space group, again, which is primarily the strategists assigned throughout the campus, are actively pursuing and reviewing this data. Now, in some cases, it is absolutely correct that space or a PI may have no space. For example, there could be training grants, which include usually postdocs. They are using space that is really assigned to a PI, but the dollars are associated to the postdoc. So therefore the postdoc doesn't have space, and therefore their money isn't tied to a PI, and that, because that would be wrong, right? So that would be a correct no space PI. School of Nursing, for example, has a number of homeless grants, and they're out on the streets reviewing our homeless population, and they do not have a space associated with that work. And finally, there's another group. These are all just examples, by the way. Global Health Activity, they do a lot of their work outside of the university, and they also have space outside of ArcBUS. So those are just some examples. And so the action required here is for PIs with sponsored financial activity to be looked at. So you would want to make sure that maybe you have a PI who could be using their office to do work which has financial dollars behind them, and make sure. So in one case, one of the things we found is that you may want to adjust that they are not just an occupant in an office, but maybe they're a PI in an office, because that is actually where they're doing their work. So therefore it changes the status that a PI is now in a dry lab. Now, if you have any questions about that, absolutely feel free to reach out to myself. We can get Jerome Sack involved, and he can help you understand how those assignments might be adjusted. And I think that is it. Thank you, Craig, for helping.
Interrupt. Tracy.
Sorry, this is. So I question, sorry to not get to the end, but it's related to what you're just saying. I think another situation that often happens, young PIs maybe loan space in a more senior faculty member's lab. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in those instances, we would recommend that the department are documenting the loan in Archibus, because if you document the loan in Archibus, it will then reflect that the young PI has space and will no longer show up as a, quote, PI with money and no space. Does that make sense?
Hey, thank you all.
Ready? All right. So survey support. You'll be glad to know that there will be survey support, that there is survey support. We are offering weekly training sessions starting September 1st. So this will be live demos and back and forth. And these are, of course, optional, and you can just sign in by hitting that link at the website or the deck here. Also, we will have, we'll be available for ad hoc one-on-ones or department level training sessions. That are out of band off this schedule if you request them. Please visit our website. It has pretty much everything you need to know. Including a link to today's event and ancillary materials. This is just one of the pages from that section there. So there are links to many job aids and other documentation, and we will have this presentation deck up there as well. And that's it. Any questions?
Hi. Can you sit there? I just wanted to add in or confirm that the Recharge Center PIs are still in the system. And that is something that part of the data that Tracy talked about, where you had PI pending, where service centers or recharges were going on in the space. As of, I think it was 1 or 2 years ago, we added virtual PIs that were actually the recharge project number. So if it is a lab where a service center is going on, where you don't have an appropriate PI to put in that space, you can put in the in that PI section, the service center, so that we can identify that that space is in fact in use. It's not waiting for a PI, it's just used by a service center, a recharge center.
That's right. Thanks, Marissa. So,
yeah, thank you.
Drop down field, you have that option, is to select that service center, and it will populate and show up in the data as a service center. So, yes, thank you.
Hi. My name is Jackie, and I am in UDAR, or the development office. And I have a question regarding move-in. You did touch on it a little bit, but I have a more specific question, actually a couple of them. So in one of our buildings, our lease is up October 31st. Okay, we have begun the process of decommissioning that suite. So this is my dilemma. For the people that are currently assigned to that building, and it's roughly 20 people. For the purpose of this survey, how would I handle that? And mind you, we are currently 100% working from home at this time. And then to further complicate matters, our entire department is moving to North Point in February. So I guess the question is, where do I assign these 20 people? Or can I leave them in that suite? Being as though the lease isn't up until October 31st. And then again, yeah, so that's the first question.
To answer your first question, in this case, I know there's a lot of variables, but I would leave them all located in the suite that you'll be vacating on October 31st. Right. Since you know where they're going to be transitioning to, you know, you could leave them in there for the duration until 2 North Point opens, or I don't know if it's worth complicating things by moving them to that remote virtual location that I talked about, to then have to move them to North Point shortly after. So I think just keeping them in that lease location for the time being would be acceptable, since it's such a short span in this case.
Good.
And UCOP also isn't looking at occupancy details. That's something more specific to our organization. They're more interested in, I shouldn't say occupancy details. They're not as interested in where employees are sitting. They're more interested in who's occupying, which departments are occupying what space, and how it's being used. So I think that would be a good way to move forward.
Well, that's good. That's the preferred. I was hoping
okay,
to say
good.
That. And then the second part to my question is, and I see that other people have a question regarding 2 North Point. So as I said, we're moving to 2 North Point in February. So at what point should we start showing those changes? Do we wait till the next survey, or how do we handle
it? No, we wouldn't wait until the next survey. So us admins are clued in on all these major updates that are occurring, and we're working with the space move managers. So we're going to be getting that information, and we'll be putting that information into Archibus ahead of time, and then we'll reach back out to the department and ask all of you to help us validate and make any changes as needed at that time. I will be going on maternity leave, so I won't be back until mid-February, around mid-February. So it's hard to say what will happen during that time period. We'll figure it out closer to the date. It's the best answer I can give for right now.
No, that sounds good.
Okay.
Congratulations, Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you for answering that. I guess we'll touch base in.
Yeah.
When you return, and at that point we should be settled or near settled, and we'll have made any changes that we, deem necessary, and we'll have an accurate occupancy list and assignment.
Great. Okay, great. And I do also have some questions here, just looking at our chat, that I know Kirk sent a couple of questions. His question is, even before COVID-19, my department has at least 15 people who regularly worked remotely 3 days a week. We also have 4 people who are 100% remote workers, but how do we record the 15 people who only occupy their on-site workspace 40% of the time? So to answer the latter part, how do we record 15 people who only occupy on-site workspace 40% of the time? For this, you would still add those occupants to rooms as if they were there 100% of the time. It's either all or nothing. So for those 4 100% remote workers that you have, that as long as they have no actual desk to go to, at UCSF, Those could be categorized as in that remote virtual field that I talked about today. But for the other employees who are 40%, they're 40% and they're in the office, the 60%, or sorry, they're 40% in the office, 60% not in the office, I would just include them in the room as them being there 100% of the time, or they'll be reflected as occupants of whatever space they're sitting in. So for example, myself, I've worked remotely. I live out of state. I've worked remotely for a few years now. My office or my workstation was at 654 Minnesota Street, but that was given up or taken away maybe a year or so ago. So when I go back to 654 Minnesota Street, I have no office or workstation. So I just rely on touchdown stations. So I would be considered one of those virtual workers.
So what about if we start setting up hotel stations and we have, let's say, 60 hotel stations and 50 of them are occupied maybe 100% of the time, but by different people? I mean, that's still a workstation that's used 100% of the time. How does that get calculated into the mix? And the 10 that aren't being used?
Right. So we don't really look at, there's really no way from a system perspective to see how utilized hotel stations are. But I would say for those employees that if that's their sole, you know, place of work at UCSF, they would still be considered those virtual employees, assuming that they have no other designated workstation to go to. Does that answer that question?
Well, I'm just concerned that if we have, you know, let's say we set up 150 workstations and we can't assign a permanent name to them, those are those going to show up as unoccupied or unused space?
Well, if they're marked as hotel, then we would look at the data differently than if it was allocated, for example, to a room type of an office or a workstation with nobody allocated. We would expect hotel stations to not have any employees allocated. Because if there were employees assigned, then it really wouldn't be a hotel station. I get what you're saying. It's a little gray, though. So maybe I need to get back to you on this.
Okay.
Because I know our workstations are the way that we work is a little different. So I get that I'm not fully answering your question either.
People are very defensive and protective of space. So if they could just label it as hotel space, and whether, you know, it's known whether it's used or not, then they can retain it. And that's not exactly utilizing our space and allocating it as best as we can.
Right. Yeah.
I would do that, Lisa. You know that, right?
How space gets marked.
I know that. Sorry, I missed the last comment.
Yeah, Lisa, could you clarify how a space gets marked hotel and who can mark it as hotel?
Yeah, so hotel space is marked from within the space update form, and this can only be done by strategists in the system. So if you're a coordinator, you can reach out to any strategist and just ask for help. But this is, if you're drilling into the room of the space update form and you're in the room details tab, the room or the view where you're, you know, changing station counts and PIs and whatnot, there's a button in there to mark a room as a hotel station.
I think that answers the question that you basically can't abuse the use of a hotel field because the strategists are watching that.
True. So there's a little moderation. We had a question from Paul Landry about talking about the acronyms of BRM and FNM, and I can happily speak to those, but Risa, would you like to speak to them? You may have a little more insight to add than myself.
I'm sorry, say the question one more time.
The question is just talking about the acronyms of BRM and FNA. And I know I can do that, but you may have a little more detail to add than I'm able to.
Sure. Yes, BRM is our office. It's Budget and Resource Management. And we are the group that includes, for example, Jerome Sack, who's working with Tracy on the space review and on the ICR benchmarking. We're also, another group is the group that myself and Daryl Lim and Garrett Chang are involved in. And we do the FNA, which is the Facilities and Administrative Cost Rate, or the ICR. That's the ICR rate. So we identify for the expenditures, what FNA code they are and make sure that we recover the appropriate indirect costs from the federal government. So FNA is related to a particular type of cost, the facilities and administrative costs. And BRM is the unit, or the Budget and Resource Management unit, that oversees the calculation and negotiation of that rate and system analysis as well.
Thank you. Okay. I have another question here. Employees from Laurel Heights who will be moving to Block 33 in September, do we still need to update the space survey? So I know there's a lot of these types of questions. So I'm actively working with the MOVES coordinators. And I'll be doing my best to keep up, or Craig and I will be doing our best to keep up with this data as these moves are occurring. And we'll be reaching out to you departments who are moving. We have the move timeline to make sure that we're, you know, interacting and helping to validate all the moves as they occur. So there's nothing that you can do on your end to update these moves into Block 33, because it requires an admin to allocate the space in order for you coordinators to have, or strategists to have, access to the space that you're assigned to or allocated to. So you'll just be hearing from us. We haven't started this process yet, but it'll be coming up soon. So just anticipate us reaching out to you. And again, I mentioned during the presentation, if we fall behind in reaching out to you, please reach out to us as well. We'll just try to communicate to get all of this space updated. It's all happening at once, as it does. So.
Hi, Lisa. My name is Caroline. Yeah. I'm from the Division of Geriatrics. Our division is also moving to Mission Bay in October. So if we will be hearing from you regarding moving our spaces to Mission Bay, should we still currently work on updating the space for Laurel Heights?
Yeah, I know it's a little tricky with the timeline, but yeah, I think focus on your space at Laurel Heights, and we can provide UCOP with a snapshot of, you know, it's a snapshot in time. So if things change after your surveys ended, or very close to when your surveys ended, first you can reach out to us to just let us know, and this will be on our radar. But yeah, I would just focus on Laurel Heights, and we'll work with you after the survey to get these changes in the system.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Just going through the comments, but
all too, yeah. Right? Same thing.
What was that, Michael?
Yeah, sorry. It's the same thing as everybody moving from UC Hall into CSB.
Yeah, it's going to be the same thing of us trying to catch up and play catch up with all the moves that are occurring. It's going to be a lot, but we'll do our best to stay on top of it. We'll try to get all the moves in before the space survey ends, and if we don't, we'll deal with them after.
Well, I think at least for School of Nursing, the people that are moving to CSB, we already have the spaces that are going to be occupied by people. So I think we could, you know, if you have the information now, we can go ahead and put it in and take them out of UC Hall. So at least that way it gives you a little bit of a jump on what's going on.
Yeah, if you have this information and it's finalized ahead of time, we're happy to help put this information in. That's a really good point. The reason that we haven't started putting any information in for Block 33 specifically is that we've been told that departments or divisions are able to change their assignments up to 2 weeks prior to their move date. So it's been really challenging to try to stay on top and start making updates, knowing that that data can change. So I've kind of taken the approach of waiting until the moves are occurring. But if you know that you know where you're going and you're not going to change it, or it'll be minor changes, we're happy to start getting that information as soon as possible. The sooner into the survey that we can get started on all of these things, the better. So yeah, we encourage that. Thanks, Michael. And just going through.
Hi, Lisa. This is Caroline again with
Geriatrics.
So we do already have all our cubicles and offices assigned at Mission Bay. So should I just send you our move matrix instead of updating our Laurel Heights room information?
Yeah, that would be great if you want to send that through and I can work with you, or Craig or I can work on with you on that. Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, I have a lot of questions that I feel like we're not going to have enough time for. I'm just going through all the... Okay, so... this question's from Piggy. How do I designate an office that's used as a focus room? We have several rooms like this because people jump in and out of them all day to take phone calls and meetings with colleagues. So our guru, Bob, would typically answer these questions. But I believe a focus room would either be allocated or assigned as an admin support room or a conference room, but I cannot recall. So I need to get back to everyone on this. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Just call that a conference room.
It's a conference room? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just to be absolutely clear about what I'm asking, I'm talking about a room that isn't actually a focus room. We've just decided it is. It's actually in the system and was provided to us after there were renovations in Mission Hall as an office. And sometimes they do become offices, but often because it's open space, we will find we need more focus rooms than what were officially designated as focus rooms.
Okay, that's reasonable. So the answer to that is its predominant use. So is it mostly used as a focus room? If so,
yes.
Call it a conference room. So there's your answer.
So you're saying I would call it a conference room?
Yes.
And I wouldn't need to assign PR?
Predominantly used. Focus room, then just call it a conference room, yes.
And there's no need to assign a PI then?
No, not if it's a conference room.
Peggy, on this, if you change the room type or you just ask me or Kareem, we can change the room type for you, and then a PI would only be assigned to it if the PI's research money was somehow used to fund the focus room. Like in a wet lab, a break room may be assigned to a PI because it's that PI's wet lab and that mm-hmm. break room is specific to it. But if it's not specific to any PI, then go ahead and just let us know and we can switch it to a small conference room for you. And you don't have to add
the... And is that like the other focus rooms in Mission Hall?
Right, yep. It'll look just like that.
Just like that. Okay, and I have more questions regarding that, but I'll take that offline later and follow up because they're specific to my different departments. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
See, Lee, we have moved our division from Mount Zion to Mission Hall this last week should we submit the list of faculty and staff that were moved to the Archibus system admin? So yeah, we would definitely love to hear from you, and we can work with a list. That would be great to help you make those changes in the system. So whenever you have it ready, please just send along to myself or to the Archibus support email, and Craig and I will look at that and work on that with you. I'm just trying to make sure I'm not missing any questions here in the chat. I think that may be it. Have I missed anyone's questions? Or does anyone have any additional questions before we wrap up? We have a few minutes left.
I don't envy you guys, and I know how much patience it's going to take to get through this. And your patience level has been incredible. And for that, I thank you guys for getting me at least through a lot of difficult questions and helping me keep my reporting fairly accurate. So again, I thank you and thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Michael. Always happy to help and talk to you. All right. I think we may be all set. I hope I haven't missed anybody. I'm just going through the chat again. It's a long chat list. Okay. All right. I think we're all set then. So thank you, everyone. Okay. Hold on. One question, just to confirm that 10/14 is the cutoff date. So that's the cutoff date for School of Medicine specifically. The Archibus space survey will be open in Archibus. The functionality will be available until the 28th. But again, School of Medicine specifically, if you're a coordinator under School of Medicine, they're asking for an internal deadline of 10/14, October 14th. But the space functionality will be available in Archibus until the 28th. So. Okay, great. All right, I think we're all set. So thanks again to everyone for participating. Please reach out to us with any questions. I know there's a lot of moves happening, and we'll do our best to stay on top of everything. And we appreciate your support and look forward to working more closely with everyone in the coming weeks. And again, the space survey will be available officially tomorrow in Archibus. So. Great. All right, thank you.